Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, blessed to be here with you today, but once again without my dear friend and co-host for life, Rhonda Branham. I certainly miss having her here by my side, as no doubt you do too. But the good news is that we're making plans to have her call in and be a part of the show here within the next couple of weeks. I'll do my best today to get through everything and try to lift you up and give you some reasons and hope for why we need to stay the course and persevere through these challenging times. We shouldn't sugarcoat things. These are serious times, but we mustn't let that get us down nor allow fear to guide us. This time in history is permitted by God as a golden opportunity for us to become saints by conforming our hearts more and more to the hearts of Jesus and Mary. Their hearts were one of complete self-donation and self-sacrifice, and they gave without counting the cost. May it please God that we do the same in order to help build up a culture of life and purity for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Well, this coming Tuesday, April 28th, we've got the feast day of St. Johanna Beretta Mola, the patroness of the pro-life movement. And what a model we find in St. Johanna, because her heart was completely conformed to the hearts of Jesus and Mary as she sacrificed herself for her unborn child. So we'll get started with a prayer here from the Society of St. Johanna Mola, asking her to intercede for the graces we need to practice the Beatitudes in our daily lives and to allow Jesus to reign completely over everything we say and do for the building up of a culture of life and purity. God, our Father, you have granted to your church the gift of Johanna Mola. Through her example, grant us the grace to joyfully consecrate our lives to your service for our brothers and sisters. Jesus, Redeemer of mankind, you called St. Johanna to the medical profession that she might comfort bodies and souls. She saw your face in those who suffered. Treasuring her example, may we become generous Christians at the service of our brothers and sisters. God, the Holy Spirit, you poured into the heart of St. Johanna a share of your love so that she could radiate it in her family and thus cooperate with you in the wonderful plan of creation and give life to new children who could know and love you. We thank you for this model wife, and through her encouraging witness, we beg you to grant all families the serene and Christian presence of mothers committed to transforming their homes into cenacles of faith and love, rich with generous activity and sanctifying service. O God, Creator and lover of mankind, you were close to St. Johanna when, affected by illness, she was in the painful dilemma of choosing between her own life and the life of the child whom she carried in her womb. Trusting you alone and aware of your commandment to respect human life, Johanna found the courage to do her duty as a mother and to say yes to the new life of her baby, generously sacrificing her own. Through the intercession of Mary, Mother of Jesus, and after the example of Johanna, inspire all mothers to welcome with love the new life within their wombs. Help all of us to joyfully find an inspiration in St. Johanna, who as a model spouse and mother, after the example of Christ, gave up her life for the life of others. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. In his opinion for a Supreme Court decision this past Monday that held that jury verdicts in criminal cases must be unanimous, Justice Brett Kavanaugh cited Roe v. Wade while discussing erroneous precedent, lending hope that he would be open to overturning the 1973 abortion rights case on any future rulings. In Monday's pronouncement, the High Court said that the right to a jury trial includes the right to a unanimous verdict, and that this federal constitutional right applies to the states. The 6-3 ruling overturned precedent that had for nearly half a century denied denied this right. Kavanaugh stated clearly that while stare decisis, the legal principle that holds that verdicts should be decided upon previous judicial decisions, should be respected, it by no means should become an art of methodically ignoring what everyone knows to be true, he said. The justice said that more often than not, the courts do overturn precedents, such as when Planned Parenthood versus Casey overturned sections of Roe v. Wade. With his comments about how it is sometimes appropriate to overrule erroneous decisions, pro-lifers are hopeful that Kavanaugh will vote to overturn Roe v. Wade in future cases. Justice Samuel Alito and Chief Justice John Roberts, however, dissented in Monday's opinion, giving a forceful endorsement for stare decisis, which could have an impact on their judgments in future abortion cases. The Trump administration's top advisor on the COVID-19 pandemic is being called out by some for saying that handshaking should be abolished, while sexual hookups with strangers are acceptable. In a response to a question about dating apps and hooking up as it relates to the spread of the virus that was posed by an interviewer for Good Luck America, a series from Snapchat that discusses U.S. politics, Dr. Anthony Fauci said that it comes down to a person's choice and willingness to take certain risks. Fauci and many others within the country seem completely comfortable with risk-taking and spread of the virus when it comes to sexual encounters, but remain supportive of drastic measures to curb human interaction at all other levels. Fauci has told interviewers, as a society, we should just forget about shaking hands. Yet when it comes to taking measures to halt the spread of the virus by curbing promiscuous behaviors, Fauci and other leaders believe that risk-taking in those situations should be left up to the individual. And finally, 25 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. 5 women from Kentucky, 1 from Illinois, and several others from various Indiana counties came to 421 South College Avenue to take the life of their unborn child. Hampered by COVID-19, sidewalk advocates mostly stood by silently, praying and being a sign of hope and love to the women as they went in. For the past few weeks, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood has been in defiance of Governor Holcomb's orders to cancel or postpone all elective surgeries and invasive procedures, which include abortion. This past Thursday, a large number of women were congregated within the abortion building, along with many workers, thus posing a risk to the spread of the virus. Complaints have been filed by local pro-lifers with the Indiana State Department of Health. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, I think I've mentioned before that my oldest daughter is a Carmelite nun in a cloistered monastery in downtown Philadelphia. Now, they lead a pretty austere life, and our whole family gets to join in that sacrifice a little bit, as we're not able to visit or speak with her very much. But one of the things that we are permitted to do is to have a yearly phone call on her birthday to speak with her for about a half an hour. Now, her birthday nearly always falls during Lent, so we usually have to postpone that phone call until Easter. That was the case this year, and so we made our annual phone call to her on Easter Sunday. And of course, with everything going on in the world, it was a very emotional call, especially on her part. They're cloistered nuns, so they're very limited in their knowledge about what's going on in the world. And when she first got on the phone, before she had hardly spoken a single word, we could tell that she was choked up. She was so concerned for us, both for our physical, but especially for our spiritual well-being, because she knew there was a serious pandemic going on and that all the churches were shut down. So her first words were ones expressing deep sorrow for us because we do not have the sacraments and we're not able to attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and receive Holy Communion. And you could tell by her voice that all of the nuns there feel a deep pain for all of us who are not able to go to Mass and receive the Eucharist right now. Well, thanks be to God that we were able to relieve her of any concerns that she had for our well-being. And the conversation moved on to just how crazy things are right now. We talked about how really none of what is going on is surprising. The world hasn't been right for a long time now, and something just has to give. And with that acknowledgement, she said to us, "Well, one sister here keeps saying it's going to get worse before it gets more worse." Well, we all kind of chuckled at that, and yet we know that this is probably a very true statement. Our poor world and church is so far from where God wants us to be, and it's going to take some suffering to get us back on the right track. God has given our country so many blessings. Even the poorest among us are able to enjoy a lifestyle that even kings and queens of old were only able to dream of. But unfortunately, with such blessings, we've become very soft. It's hard for most of us to do penance, and to go without some things, and to suffer well. And as a society, we've gotten so far off the path of life and purity. So we need to be shaken up a bit. Some people believe that this pandemic is just the beginning, and there are good reasons to believe that, especially when we consider the numerous approved apparitions of Our Lady. How many times has she warned us to return to her Son? Well, Rhonda and I dedicated an entire program on Our Lady of America in July of last year. You can check out all of our past shows, including this one, by going to wombradio.com and clicking on Pro Life to the Max. And we need to be reminded of what Our Lady said to Sister Mary Ephraim back in 1959. She said, "Oh, my child, tell your spiritual father that I have come again to warn and to plead. Penance, penance. How little my children understand it. They give me many words, but sacrifice themselves they will not. It is not me they love, but themselves. Oh, what blindness, sweet child, what blindness. How it pierces my heart. See, I weep, but my children show me no compassion. They behold the sword in my heart, but will make no move to withdraw it. I give them love, they give me only ingratitude." And I want to stop right there, because when Our Lady says, "I give them love," what would we say that this love looks like? Well, it's her suffering for us, especially at the foot of the cross. She joined her Son in his suffering and death as co-redemptrix, so that the gates of heaven could be opened up for us. No greater love is there than this. And we should ask ourselves, what is our response to such a deep and suffering love? Well, we should be driven to return that love by loving others with that same self-sacrificial love. Okay, then Our Lady goes on to say, "Weep, dear child, weep with your mother over the sins of men. Intercede with me before the throne of mercy, for sin is overwhelming the world and punishment is not far away." Those words should cut us to the heart. Our Lady of America emphasized the need to live purely and chastely. She admonished us to amend our lives. She told Sister Mary Ephraim in September of 1957, "My beloved daughter, what I am about to tell you concerns in a particular way my children of America. Unless they do penance by mortification and self-denial and thus reform their lives, God will visit them with punishments hitherto unknown to them." I think we can rightly ask, are we beginning to see this play out? And if we are living the lives that Our Lady is asking us to, the lives that we know we should live to be conformed to her heart, then we need have no fear. One of my favorite saints is a little-known Spanish archbishop who lived in the 19th century, St. Anthony Mary Claret. He had a deep devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and even founded an order in honor of her most pure heart. Well, St. Anthony Claret was endowed with some great, incredible spiritual gifts, one of which was the gift of prophecy. He was a fiery preacher. He spoke the truth clearly and with great love. And he did not shy away from warning the sheep entrusted to his care about the calamities that would befall them if they did not quit sinning and amend their lives. There were a lot of unlawful and unchaste marriages, lots of sins against purity that St. Anthony was trying always to correct. Well, while he was preaching a mission in Cuba, he warned of a great tribulation that was coming to Santiago. The following day, a 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck, bringing with it terrible destruction. Even the cathedral there was ruined and the altar split in two. But he told everyone, "It is useless to rebuild the cathedral and the houses. The earthquake will return. God wishes it. These earthquakes," he said, "are the great missionaries that God sends so that obstinate hearts who do not wish to listen to words of love may be converted." And then he went on to explain, "God does with many of us as a mother does to a lazy, sleeping child. She shakes the bed so as to awaken him and cause him to arise. If that does not suffice, she whips him. God does the same with many of his children who are lethargic sinners. He shakes their beds, that is, their houses, by means of earthquakes. If that does not awaken them and they do not rise, he will give them blows, sending them the cholera and pestilence." Now, St. Anthony Claret did not rejoice in these prophecies and warnings. He didn't want people to have to suffer. He would have much rather they be converted simply by his words. He wept a lot, and he asked everyone to beg God for mercy. He wrote these words in his autobiography: "Do penance for your sins and for others, so that God may stay the arm ready to strike." Unfortunately, as happened so many times throughout salvation history, the people would not listen to him, and they continued on in their sinful lifestyles. Neither were there enough people moved to do penance so that the necessary reparation could be made. And so after the earthquake came the cholera outbreak, which claimed 10% of Santiago's population. St. Anthony further prophesied a third great chastisement, a bloody war, which also came to pass. Well, we too cannot say that we have not been warned. God has sent Our Lady many times as a prophetess, giving us due notice that we must amend our lives, pray, and do penance. Otherwise, God's judgment will fall upon us. Think of her many church-approved apparitions and messages, many of which we've covered on this show. Our Lady of Good Success, La Salette, Fatima, Akita, Our Lady of America, and many others. There was even an apparition approved by the bishop in Steubenville, Ohio, where Our Lady and her son appeared to a young mother back in the 1980s. The messages were compiled in a book called The Apostolate of Holy Motherhood. In it, Our Lady emphasized the need to pray for and practice purity and modesty because the world depends upon it, she said. She told the seer, "Heaven is most distressed with the state the world is in. It is very bad right now. Only prayer and penance can change it." She warned of future punishments if people did not listen. Our Lord said to this same seer, "Pray for purity. Impurity offends my mother, and I can tolerate no more. You must be prepared to give completely of yourselves now, especially as the time is so crucial. Hold nothing back." Also, there's a Franciscan priest named Father Regis Scanlon, who is, I believe, currently a spiritual director and chaplain for Mother Teresa of Calcutta's Missionaries of Charity in Denver, Colorado. He wrote something very interesting last August that caught my attention so much so that I bookmarked it so I could go back to it again. It was entitled, "Will the Pope and Bishops Save Us from a Coming Chastisement?" Well, in it, Father runs through all of the recent approved Marian apparitions, especially focusing on what Our Lady told little Saint Jacinta, that the sins of the flesh were the most frequent sins committed by people, leading them to eternal punishment. He wrote, "If God was offended by these sins in 1917, how much more is he offended today? And abortion, which was often done to cover up the sins of the flesh, was considered rare in 1917. But just from 1980 until today, the global number of babies that have been aborted is 1.5 billion. The point here is that mankind has not only refused to repent of its sins of the flesh, it has even doubled down by expanding these sins in both kind and number exponentially. Our Lady warned of horrible events if people didn't repent of these sins. So, what's coming for the world and the church? Father Scanlon spends the rest of his column proposing a sort of timeline for the start of God's intervention to take place. It's a fascinating read, and by the way, you can find it on his blog at FatherRegisScanlon.com. Let me spell that for you. FRREGISScanlon, FatherRegisScanlon.com. He does a good job of connecting Our Lady's prophecies of Fatima and Akita to Pope Leo XIII's locution back on October 13th in 1884, when the pontiff heard Satan challenging God by saying that he could destroy the church if he had 100 years to do so. The story goes that God granted Satan 100 years, and from that conversation, Pope Leo was inspired to compose the Saint Michael Prayer. Father Scanlon believes God allowed Satan to begin that assault 33 years later on October 13, 1917, with the Bolshevik Revolution and atheistic communism. Of course, that's also the same day that Our Lady of Fatima went to work as God performed the miracle of the sun to validate the message of Fatima. Now, Father also brings up that Our Lady appeared to Sister Agnes Sasagawa in Akita, Japan on October 13, 1973, warning that the world was on a path to destruction since it was rejecting all traditional morality. Of course, we know that in 1973, the killing of the unborn was legalized here in the U.S. Another very interesting phenomenon about this particular apparition was that the statue of Our Lady in the chapel where Sister Agnes prayed miraculously shed tears 101 times. Sister Agnes said it was because of Our Lady's deep sorrow over the great number of souls who were falling into hell. Our Lady's message at Akita was to pray the rosary and to do penance to keep souls from going there. Father Scanlon laments, "Why is the hierarchy of the church not responding more forcefully to these clear warnings from God through Our Lady, especially since the number of abortions and sins of the flesh are far from shrinking?" Finally, Father says that while he knows he is being speculative, he believes the deadline for Satan's century of power was to end on October 13, 2019. He explained that because Pope Francis had declared an extraordinary jubilee of mercy from December 8, 2015 through the Feast of Christ the King on November 20, 2016, Satan's power would have been nullified by that year of mercy, so there would still be one more year to make up for the full 100 years granted to him by God. Something that was signified, he said, by the 101 tears shed by Our Lady at Akita. Father Scanlon wrote, "If the leaders of the church and nations do not rise up and vehemently oppose abortion and sins of the flesh by October 13th, 2019, sometime after that, God will stop Satan with a chastisement that will bring mankind to its knees. This is both good news and bad news," he concluded, "because many will suffer." Now remember, Father Scanlon wrote this in August of last year before the coronavirus hit. Some very interesting thoughts there by Franciscan priest Father Regis Scanlon. "We can say that this virus sure has brought us to our knees in many ways. The total shutdown of all of our churches and sacraments is unprecedented. You know, I heard Dr. Anthony Fauci talk about how we must mitigate the coronavirus, and that's the word he used, mitigate, by staying home and isolating ourselves. And I'm sure that's good and necessary advice for helping to stop the spread of this horrible disease. But where is the talk about mitigating the pandemic of sin, especially sins of the flesh? As Father Scanlon said, we should be hearing the call from church leaders to mitigate the spread of moral disease through our prayers, penances, and amendment of life. Because if we don't, it's going to get worse before it gets more worse," to quote a Carmelite nun in Philadelphia. You know, that extraordinary jubilee of mercy that Pope Francis declared a few years back was unparalleled, and that there had never before been a jubilee year dedicated to mercy. We need God's mercy now more than ever. I learned something really beautiful this past Divine Mercy Sunday. In the Old Testament, there are two Hebrew words used to express the mercy or compassion of God. Rachamim is the one most often used and the one that describes best the depths of God's mercy. Rachamim comes from the Hebrew word rechem, which means womb. It's meant to describe the tender love that a mother has for her unborn child. And rachamim is the plural form, thus conveying further intensity of that love. Rachamim is a mercy and love literally from the mother's womb. Here's one example of where the word rachamim is used in the Bible, and it's Psalm 103, verse 13. "As a father has compassion, rachamim, on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." And of course, our Savior came to us through Mary's womb. All of this gives us further insight into why abortion is so very evil. It's an attack not only upon the unborn child, but also upon the very love and mercy of God. Thus, it becomes very important to make reparation for this by extolling the mercy of God and extending it to others by giving totally of ourselves and performing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. We are living in very confusing times. We don't seem to have answers to a lot of our questions. We don't know what the future holds. Is this coronavirus a passing thing, or is it just the beginning? There are a lot of unknowns, but there are also plenty of things that we do know. A country whose leaders are quick to say that they will do anything at all, including shredding the civil rights of citizens, in order to save even one life from the coronavirus, all the while allowing the slaughter of millions of unborn children to go on. A country where sins of the flesh and deviant behaviors are rampant and considered normal. A country that allows so-called gay marriage. A country that corrupts the natural innocence and purity of its youngest members by allowing drag queens to read perverse books to them in public libraries and introduces them to all kinds of perversions through sex education classes. A country that is comfortable with being the home of a multi-billion dollar pornography industry. A country where when a pandemic hits, all churches are bolted shut and considered non-essential, while abortion centers are given free rein and counted as essential places of business. Such a country will not last for long without some victim souls coming forward and many others imploring the mercy of God through heroic prayer and penance. That much we know for certain. Our Lady's requests are simple. We must pray always, mortify ourselves, amend our lives, and give totally of ourselves to others. Scott Hahn was recently asked to give his comments about whether or not he thought COVID-19 was a punishment from God. Hahn said, "Does God punish us? Yes, but it's restorative. It's redemptive. It purifies us. God's mercy is when He gives us what we need. Whether it's a virus, an earthquake, or a cop pulling us over and giving us a DUI so that we are finally forced to accept responsibility for all of our misused freedom. That is not wrath. That is mercy. That is love. And it usually comes wrapped in what feels like punishment." Last year, for the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, a professed Catholic, signed into law the most radical abortion bill ever seen in the nation, allowing for the slaying of the unborn for any reason up to the moment of birth. He ordered the One World Trade Center to be lit up in pink to mark the historic victory, he said. Even amidst the COVID-19 pandemic that is ravaging his state, Cuomo continues to support the abortion industry in whatever way he can because he views the killing of the unborn as absolutely necessary. And apparently, he was just getting warmed up last year when he signed that reproductive act into law, because this past April 9th, amidst the pandemic, Governor Cuomo signed into law a bill that legalized commercial surrogacy. Wealthy gay lobbyists pushed for the bill so that they would have the right to have a child. Katie Faust of the children's rights group called Them Before Us summed it up perfectly. "Abortion says if a child is unwanted, I can force her out of existence, even if it violates her right to life. Surrogacy says if a child is wanted, I can force her into existence, even if it violates her right to her mother and father." The level of wickedness in our country and even in some manner within our church is indeed unprecedented. But I'll end with some words given by Our Lady to the seer from the Apostolate of Holy Motherhood. Our Lady said, "Good always triumphs over evil. Remember this always. It will give you great heart to know and reflect upon this. Satan cannot prevent my triumph as hard as he may try, because God himself has preordained that this should occur in this time. You are fortunate to be living in this time, this era of mercy and love. Not all have been given so great a chance to repent from so much evil. You must do all that I have told you, as this will aid in softening many hearts in order to be receptive to grace." Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.